Hearing loss is one of the most common birth defects in the United States. Advances in medical technology mean that doctors can now test for the problem as early as the first day of life. Still, many children with hearing loss remain undiagnosed until they're several years old. A study in this month's journal Pediatrics adds new support to the movement to have all newborns screened for hearing loss before they leave the hospital. NPR's Rachel Jones reports.
2-day-old Cameron Norris slept through the first big test of his life, given by audiologist Miranda Adams.
I'm just going to be putting some sensors on the baby's forehead and shoulder and back of the neck, then putting some earphones over the ears that present a soft clicking sound.
Adams works at Georgetown University Hospital in Washington. She's attaching Cameron to a machine called an Algo, which looks like a gray personal computer on wheels. It measures how his auditory nerve responds to sound. Once everything is in place, Adams turns to the computer screen.
What I'm looking at is just two different numbers, one for each ear that's telling me how many times the click is being presented to the ear, and then another number that tells me how many times the response is being detected.
Some hospitals say they can't afford the equipment or the staff to do the test. Some health plans won't reimburse parents for the screening, which can range from about $15 to $50. And there have been complaints about false positive results that caused anxiety and unnecessary expense. But a study in this month's Pediatrics Journal offers new support that universal newborn hearing screening is doable. Dr. Albert Mell is physician in charge of Kaiser Permanente's Boulder, Colorado office. He analyzed 8 years' worth of screening data for 148,000 Colorado babies.
I think the study shows that it is actually feasible to take a large number of hospitals and bring them all to the point of being able to do this screening on every newborn baby.
The babies were born between 1992 and 1999. In 1997, the Colorado legislature passed a law that encouraged more hospitals to screen newborns. By 1999, 87% of all newborns in the state were screened, compared to less than 20% of babies screened before the law. And false positive rates were low, too. Overall, 1 in 650 babies in the study had hearing problems, which is about the same as the national rate. Mill says these babies could have faced serious developmental hurdles if their problems weren't caught early.
That means that during the first 2 years of life, when the brain is growing rapidly, inadequate stimulus is going into the brain in terms of the baby's hearing.
Mill says parents need to decide about the use of hearing aids during the first few months of life. For some babies, doctors may recommend cochlear implants after age 1. Both those decisions can stem from that early screening, but not everyone in the research community agrees that testing and intervention has to start so soon. Last October, a government-sponsored task force examined research on the long-term effectiveness of newborn hearing screenings. Pediatrician Tracy Liu is an associate professor of ambulatory care at Harvard Medical School and a member of the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force. She says the panel concluded that screening babies at birth does identify greater numbers of hearing problems, but it was a lot harder to confirm the long-term benefit of that early testing.
The evidence to determine whether earlier treatment resulting from screening leads to long-term improvements in language skills was not conclusive.
More specifically, the panel found there's not enough research yet to determine an advantage to testing at 2 days old versus testing at 8 or 9 months old. There have been some studies to support the benefits of early intervention, but Liu says they're too small to apply to the general population.
I'm not sure exactly what evidence the task force was looking for.
James Batty directs the National Institute on Deafness and Other Communication Disorders, a branch of the NIH. He says the task force's research standard presented an impossible challenge.
The way you would get that evidence right now would be to do a clinical study where you had a cohort of children that received early diagnosis and intervention and another cohort that did not.
Batty says that will never happen.
We believe because such a substantial fraction of the clinical community is convinced that early diagnosis is important for those kids, that doing such a study at this time would be ethically very questionable.
Others say the real-life stories of children and families dealing with hearing defects should provide all the evidence the task force needs. Elizabeth Thorpe directs the National Campaign for Hearing Health in Washington, D.C.
We have families who we work with where the oldest child was born profoundly deaf and wasn't diagnosed until she was a toddler. And then the second child was screened right at birth and got a cochlear implant. and speaks perfectly, and the older child is still struggling.
The Preventive Services Task Force says more research, like the Colorado study, is needed before they can make a positive recommendation. But even without that official stamp of approval, the push for universal newborn hearing screening is moving ahead. The National Campaign for Hearing Health says six more states have pending legislation for hearing screening. Rachel Jones, NPR News, Washington.